Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
All right, hour number two of the radio program continues and starts actually right now. The show continues on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. So we spent hour number one talking about what's most important: franchise quarterback culture, brotherhood, experience, stability, foundation, all the stuff that we listed as part of what we discovered about the 2024 season and the Washington Commanders, right? And I think you could make a reasonable argument for all. So AMAC came in and said, do you want to explain, like, basically you said, like, the last caller that called up and said Jaden Daniels, and that kind of feeds into everything. You were making the argument, like, there are very few teams,
yeah,
that haven't had the stud quarterback, if mm-hmm. you will, right? And if I'm not mistaken, this was your premise. Teams that have the stud quarterback, they often have that foundation for success, that stability, that brotherhood, culture, what have you, mm-hmm. because it all kind of trickles down and permeates, right?
Yeah, like, so basically making the point that, like, the quarterback plays into that. It's hard to sustain that culture without that quarterback.
And your reasoning for that is, as everybody kind of knows, Doc obviously teases you, you being a Giants fan,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, the Giants have had a lot of the ingredients. Pretty good defense, good pass rush, great running back up until they let Saquon go. Now they have a stud receiver. But they've struggled in two key areas. One, offensive line, and B, quarterback, right?
Yeah.
They thought they had Daniel Jones turned around in the first year under Dable and Joe Shane. Obviously, they paid him. Mm-hmm. He was very successful on the field that year. And then it all fell apart. Injury, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned San Francisco when Jimmy Garoppolo was kind of the quarterback. They had the stability, the structure, the foundation, the roster, the chemistry, the brotherhood, whatever. They didn't have the franchise quarterback. And they were able to compete, rebuild their organization, win playoff games, but only get to a certain point, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And then I said, well, what about Pittsburgh?
And that's a great one, where it's like they don't have that quarterback, but you can definitely see the culture and the stability.
Right. So really the question is, or the point being, is you have to kind of have all three, right? Which is not what I asked, but it's the overall point, is that if you don't have all three, it's really hard to win. Like, when you think of the Kansas City Chiefs, you think, okay, they have the franchise quarterback. They have the culture, brotherhood, whatever you want to call it. And again, I kind of look at it similarly, that Andy Reid has installed, right? And that has now been turned over. And even though they have free agent defections, as every team does, year in, year out, there's a standard of accountability. Guys fit in as opposed to, acting all AWOL and doing their own thing. And there's certainly stability, structure, home base, like a way to go to ground zero, if you will, and know, hey, man, this is how we do things. This is what the expectation is. When you need to reset, you reset here, and then we go out and we kick ass by any means. So I think you have that in Kansas City, all three of those things. As soon as it started to get wonky in Philadelphia, they went off the tracks, right? Whether you think Jalen Hurts is a franchise quarterback, certainly paid like one, but they have mostly the culture that you're looking for, with some differences. They added some outside pieces that they thought they needed from a talent and from a competitive standpoint that made them so much better, i.e. Saquon Barkley, Vic Fangio, even quite honestly drafting Jalen Carter 2 years ago. And they've seemingly done it and done it well. The key really is ultimately to having three. And that's why we bring up like the Steelers. The Steelers don't have the franchise quarterback. And you can argue they don't even have a good quarterback, which ultimately people are trying to turn around and blame Mike Tomlin for. A, he's not the GM. Yes, he's influential, very influential, I'm guessing. But he's not the GM. He's not the owner, whatever. But they have the structure, they have the home base, they have the foundation, they have the cultural identity that allows people to be somewhat individualistic, but to flourish together for the most part, to make a playoff run every year, to be in the playoffs every year, even though they kind of folded like a cheap suit down the stretch this year. But the one thing they're missing is the quarterback. So if you have the quarterback, is it easier to find the other two things like Cincinnati is trying to do the last 2 years because they have the quarterback and Joe Burrow? Like, again, other teams that like Justin Herbert, you would consider, right? Justin Herbert being the franchise quarterback. Well, now we have to build the pieces around him. It clearly did not work with Brandon Staley. So they thought, we got to go out and hire Jim Harbaugh, a guy who can galvanize and reset the foundation. So it's interesting how these teams operate structure-wise, approach things. I guess the best thing I could say for the Commanders is we know they have the franchise quarterback. They found a brotherhood slash culture. They'll have to tweak it. They'll have to manipulate it because different guys will be leaving. Different guys will be coming. But they also, I truly believe, and this is why I went with this, they have the foundation, the structure, the home base. Home is where the heart is, right? Where you can say, okay, I'm having a crappy day. I'm having a crappy week. I had a crappy game. I had a crappy end of the season. Marshawn Lattimore might be a perfect example. If Marshawn Lattimore comes out and plays at a Pro Bowl level next year, maybe he wouldn't have done that, or he wouldn't do that in New Orleans, but maybe he does it here because they have everything in place here, because they have the people that you need to succeed, and not only succeed, but thrive. See, far too often, this organization was treading water, right? they were taking on water, they were trying to, you know, gasping for air, what have you, because they had too many bad people doing too many bad things. If you have good people doing good things and hard work and doing things the right way, using common sense, just from a football operation standpoint, it should translate to others having success. Now, not everybody is going to have that success. We will find out. And again, there might be no bigger example than a guy like Marshon Lattimore, who struggled on the field and to stay on the field in his time here, to the point where now people are talking about, maybe they move on from Marshon Lattimore. Maybe it didn't work out. Maybe it's time to look somewhere else. No. I think great organizations can help fix, can help empower guys that are struggling, guys that are a little bit down on their performance, luck, whatever, maybe their confidence. Not all the time can they fix it. I mean, they couldn't fix Jamin Davis. They couldn't fix Emmanuel Forbes. They couldn't fix Fedarian Mathis. Now, they were also not their guys, so it made it easier to move on from them. Lattimore is kind of their guy, right? They chose Lattimore. So we will see. All right, let's get to our guy, Athan, in Annapolis, see if he's back with us. Double A, I went to you in the 1 o'clock hour there, and unfortunately we weren't able to make the connection. I hope you're okay.
Are you? Can you hear me now?
I got you, brother.
Okay. Hey, first question, is Anthony okay? Because he sounded sad when he answered the phone. Is he doing all right today?
Anthony, are you okay?
Yeah, just a you know, sad Giants fan. That's all.
Yeah, he's a little bit disappointed that the Commanders have Jaden Daniels, his quarterback. His coach had a hankering for him, as we all know, and they didn't get him. One, because they didn't want to move up for him. Number one, and number two, they also, of course, devalued Saquon Barkley, and well, that didn't exactly work out right.
Gotcha. Well, listen, Linnell's not there today. There's time to be happy. So, Anthony, turn that frown upside down, okay? Second thing is, I would say, is, you know, a company's culture, a team's culture, is not what's painted on the walls of the building, and it's not what's on their website. It's how the employees feel before they come to work. And I believe that in sports, and I believe that in business. So I think that's one thing. And two, you have to have the heavy hitters. You have to have people like Jaden Daniels and you know, the guys that surround him. So it's not a long call today, but Chris, I do have something for you, because I'm a religious listener to the Kevin Sheehan podcast that has to do with some information Tom Lavero has and his dealings with somebody very close to Jaden Daniels that I'll tell you on the side.
Okay.
And maybe you can get Tommy on the show one day to talk about it.
Okay. Let's do that. One thing that I, before you go, you know, because like you said, you know, we talk off the air and we become friends and all that. And I value, you know, your input and your support and all that stuff. You know, I know you've been through, you know, some rough times, right? And we all have that, right? And, you know, when you have culture and when you have brotherhood and when you have support and when you have structure around you, right, it allows people to flourish. It allows people to lift their game. And I know that things kind of got wonky a little bit for you, right? Not your doing, but in that situation in your life. And so you know firsthand how important that stuff is, right? You know firsthand, as you move forward in your life, what exactly you're looking for and how important that is.
Exactly. And you just can't settle for anything less. And, you know, my faith is a big part of my life, so that goes into it too. But it's just that you have to bet on yourself. You have to bank on yourself before anything. That's what I think it is. You have to want to go out there every day and do what you have to do to get by, to survive, or to deal with the personal problems you're dealing with, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. But I think it's all about believing in yourself but again, having good support people like yourself and like Linnell and like others who have been there to encourage you along the way that, hey, this is not forever. It's going to get better. And to the team's point, it's gotten better within 2 years because they brought the right people in. It's all people and processes wherever you go, business, sports, everything. Are you allowed to do your job at the end of the day? That's what I end my call with. Are you allowed to do what they're paying you to do? And if not, you don't need to be there. Case in point, look at the Raiders. They haven't won their division, not the conference, their division since 2002. You talk about a dumpster fire. Okay, so I hope Pete Carroll can clean it up, but that's 23 years of a marquee franchise of this league that's been that way. People not allowed to do their jobs and a poor culture.
Well said. Thank you, Double A. Appreciate you. All right, before we're going to sort of move on from this, unless you want to chime in still, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. But now, excuse me, we have to move on to something a little bit different, right? Something that is not going to be fun for us to talk about. Something that I feel very different about than a lot of the audience. But it's something that has to be discussed. So I want to discuss it in a different way than most are going to discuss it. And here's how. During one of the breaks of the show, I read that the WNBA might possibly be expanding to Nashville, Tennessee, right? And the headline of the story says Nashville bids for WNBA team would honor Pat Summitt with name. And they go into their partnership group, you know, how important it would be to bring women's basketball to Music City, where they have very much embraced the Tennessee Titans, the Nashville Predators, you know, college sports, all of that. Country music, all that. But also that in addition to this star-studded group and the meaning and the impact and whatever, they would name the team the Tennessee Summitt. Why? In honor of the late and great Pat Summitt, who, of course, was the star women's coach at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville, which is, what, an hour or so away from Nashville. Makes all the sense in the world. All the sense in the world. All the sense in the world. Then, last night, while I'm getting absolutely barraged, and some of it I bring on myself because I can't resist poking the bear, and I responded to a Nikki Javala tweet, you know, how she said, you know, the Commanders enter this offseason not needing a GM, not needing a head coach, not needing a new offensive coordinator, not playing the stadium name game, meaning going from FedEx Field to Commanders Field to Northwest Stadium. They still need a new stadium, but even that has taken a big leap forward. And I think she, you know, mentioned, you know, no name, whatever. And of course, I couldn't resist. And I said, oh, you got to change the name immediately. You know, like right now, like yesterday. And then across my phone comes this. The Utah Hockey Club to hold in-arena fan vote for permanent name. The Utah Hockey Club apparently wanted to name themselves the Utah Yeti or Yetis, but they can't because of trademark and patent rules, right? They rejected, the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office rejected the names and the logos that the Utah Hockey Club had submitted for approval. In particular, the Utah Yetis, which, you know, again, seem to be like the most popular one because there's a brand already out there. The Yeti, what is it? The Yeti travel mug or whatever it is. I see it all over the place. I think it's a travel mug, water mug, whatever it is. So apparently, they're going to do something that the Commanders did not do. Fans attending Utah's next four home games will have the opportunity to vote for three options using tablets stationed around the Delta Center. The team estimates there could be upward of 15,000 fans per game, and they're going to vote for what they want the permanent name of the relocated Arizona Coyotes to be. And it's either the Utah Hockey Club, the Utah Mammoth or the Utah Wasatch? I have no idea what a Wasatch is. Oh, it's a mountain range. And in Utah, of course, they have many mountains known for their ski resorts. But I had never heard the name Wasatch. Okay? So they're going to let the fans, apparently, if we believe that the votes will be tabulated correctly, vote for the team name. However, they ultimately whittle down the list to these three options. I wonder, A, if the Commanders had done the same thing, the Commanders organization with a controversial name now, even though it should not be controversial in any sort of way. If they had done the same thing, would you guys have accepted the results as is, even if it was something you didn't love or like? Was it because you felt that you didn't get that power, combined with the fact that you felt it was Dan Snyder's last FU to the organization's fans that makes you hate Commanders, even though there's really no reason to hate Commanders? So I want to examine that and discuss that moving forward because, once again, in just the last 4 days, we've had my guy Kevin Sheehan. I've gotten a ton of tweets, a ton of messages. Dr. Sabah, Athens and Annapolis, two people that, you know, I really respect. They completely opposite of me. So I want to examine that moving forward and spin that into, if you will, a topic that I started thinking of when I saw the Utah thing last night, that if they would have given you the opportunity to vote, whether you liked it or you didn't like it, the results or not, would you be okay with it? Would you have been okay with Commanders if that's what the results yielded? On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game, and that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So we're going to make the turn for 2:30 here, and we invite you to join us on the calls. Let me give you a couple more details about this Utah Hockey Club fiasco, right? Because the story is a little bit more layered than I initially led on. So basically, they're going to allow their fans to have a round of voting right now that decides the team name and the logo and whatever for Utah Hockey Club, Utah Mammoth, and Utah Wasatch. Now, apparently, according to the team, right, that this might not be the last fan vote. It may be, but it might not be. There could be another round after this one, a team executive told ESPN. But whatever the fans decide ultimately in these votes, even though this might not be the last one, will be the team's name beginning next season. And currently, right now, they're known as the Utah Hockey Club, so they could keep it the same. Apparently, the team executive said the team submitted all 20 names that they initially came up with on an initial survey to the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. The biggest refusal was for Yeti or Yetis, which was widely expected to be the team name. And the reason why the Patent and Trademark Office rejected it is because of the likelihood of confusion for consumers to other companies and brands that use the name. The Utah Hockey Club was seeking to use Utah Yetis on a variety of clothing items. A database searched up a number of third-party marks registered for use in connection, blah, 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 blah. Among those parties was the Yeti Coolers Company, or LLC, which makes drinkware, coolers, and clothing. That's what we kind of discussed. Now, the team said, we, quote, engage deeply with Yeti Cooler Company and work with them over a process to see if there was some sort of coexistence agreement that we could engage with them on. They have a unique and strong trademark on anything published Yeti or Yetis. We did not have a coexistence agreement with Yeti, and therefore we have decided to move on from that name, which is essentially what happened when they did their work on Red Wolves or Wolves, right? And same, and Warriors was a favorite of Dan Snyder and Jason Wright. I know this, okay? But they looked around and said, not only are there trademark issues, Warriors, but there's also Native American sensitive issues because of what happened at Marquette. Wolves and Red Wolves, which was so popular with a lot of the fans, had trademark issues up the wazoo, and they weren't willing to not only pay the money, but also engage in a long legal battle for the rights to market and merchandise and trademark the name. So when Warriors was out, when Wolves and Red Wolves were out, perhaps trying to end this thing, they rushed a little bit, perhaps. And they came up with Commanders. Now, Commanders was not a name, as Alex points out, and he's right, that I remember hearing much about. I think J.P. Finley was the first one, maybe in like November of 2021, to mention Commanders. But if you think about it, Commanders is something that does fit in what Ron Rivera and I think Jason Wright said at the time, which was, hey, it certainly fits within the military context, and the military is such a huge part of the Washington, D.C. DMV area that you had something that kind of fit in that realm, but also on top of that was unique in that nobody else was using it except for a now defunct AFL team down in San Antonio. I think it was AFL. Maybe it was USFL. I can't remember. One of those FLs. And so they wanted to not have a name that they had to battle with another previous existing trademark or team currently on the market. And that led to Commanders. Now, did they do it right? Of course they didn't do it right. That's the question. Not whether Commanders is popular or not. I know it's not popular. But if they had done it, if they had put it involved and more, I guess, front and center on the front burner to where you guys were aware of it, and especially if they had put it up for vote, and that was the name chosen, would you have accepted it better? Would you have warmed up to it? Or because you feel it was chosen by Dan Snyder and others as one last bleep you to the fan base and to the area, is that why you have turned your back universally on it? Meaning if they had done what the Utah Hockey Club is doing, even with something as stupid as Wasatch, which nobody understands the meaning of, and it quite honestly sounds a lot more dumber than Commanders, which I don't think is dumb. I have no problem with Commanders at all. At all. Never have, never will. It's fine. It's not great. It's fine. It is what it is. If they had done it the way the Utah Hockey Club is doing it, if they had done it in a means of what the Nashville WNBA expansion hopeful franchise is trying to do it, honoring the late, great Pat Summitt, something very important to the people of Middle Tennessee. I think certainly we wouldn't be in this situation. But as usual, because they did everything pretty much wrong over a 30-year period, we're here. We're here. And it's never going away. And I'm forced to talk about it because it's on the mind of so many people, even though it's not important to me. I'm forced to talk about it because I'm supposed to do a talk show about what is important to the large part of my audience. And by and large, I see it every day. I hear it every day. How important it is, whether I like that or not, whether I agree with that or not, because I certainly don't. I'll give you a further example when we return. On the other side, we'll do a trending alert, and then we'll get out to your calls at 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980 if you want to weigh in. Again, if they had put up Commanders to a fan vote and that was the choice, would that have been more acceptable to you? Not whether you like it or you don't like it. If that was the end result through a fan vote, even though we don't know if the fan vote is legit, would that have made it more acceptable to you? And would you therefore be willing to accept it? Which many of you are not. All right, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, the Capitals are back in action tonight. They take their 34 wins and look to make it 35 on the road once again for a second time in 2 weeks at a place that they won in overtime 2 weeks ago tonight, Ottawa, against the Senators, who are 26-20-4. 7 o'clock puck drop, 6:45 the coverage over on 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app. Meanwhile, it has been another rough go for the Washington Wizards. Well, they haven't won in a long, long time. Last night, blown out by the Toronto Raptors. They were down at 1.14-0. They try and break a 15-game losing streak to the 26-19 Los Angeles Lakers, who roll into town without Anthony Davis. He's not going to play. He's out for at least the next week. But the Wizards hammered again last night by the Toronto Raptors, 6.5-point underdogs to the Lakers and LeBron James. And that could mean we should see Bronny James make his Washington Day DC debut. You can hear it 6:45 following Craig Hoffman, who's broadcasting live from Capital One Arena before the Lakers and the Wizards, following us at 4 o'clock. And one last one for you. Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever are going to play an exhibition game against Brazil, but at Iowa, where she, of course, became famous and made her college career. They are going to play at Hawkeye Arena in Iowa City on May 4th, as her Indiana team will play a WNBA exhibition game against the Brazilian national team. And obviously, tickets will be sold out for that one. There is no doubt about it. Of course, in case you're unaware, she was the top scorer in Division I college basketball history at Iowa, serving from 2020 through 2024. And that's what's trending. For the lives that were lost in many ways, so many losses coming from the ice skating community. You know, in the plane crash with the helicopter in the Potomac River last night. And, yeah, just so sad. We still think about that, you know, and of course it's fresh as they're still trying a recovery mission as opposed to a rescue mission. And we are not a news talk show. We are not a news station. But this is, you know, in our backyard. We're desperately trying to focus on sports and focus on things that are more positive and things that are more of a distraction, just because it is so awful to think about. But we're, you know, we're thinking about all the lives that were lost far too young. Not that any life being lost is a good thing, but especially ones that were young. All right, so I asked this, and I tried to do a roundabout sort of way of discussing, once again, the Fever building. And really, it started with my colleague and friend Kevin Sheehan. So, and I heard Kevin getting some crap for it on the way in today, and he sounded very frustrated by that. So he said something on the radio on Monday, which caught my attention because somebody clipped it, and it just showed up on my timeline. And I said, oh, geez, here we go again. Are we right back to this again? Like, we actually had, like, a break from it to talk about relevant football and good football, right? And that was Kevin's point today, was like, what are you guys talking about? Like, we didn't talk about this at all the last month or two. We were talking about football, like legitimate football. And that's what I want too. And I think that's what you want. But I decided, you know what? Not only did Kevin say what he said, Others said what they said. I've been getting pounded with messages, both, you know, direct DMs and on my timeline about the name and the this and the that and how I don't understand that I don't have an emotional connection and I'm a loser and I'm this because I'm not from here. You know, a lot of the same crap that I have to deal with constantly. So then I started to think, okay, how am I going to jazz up this topic, right? How am I going to bring it up without doing the obvious, I don't like the Commanders. Again, I say this all the time. Redskins was worth fighting for. The name Redskins, the Indian head logo, that was worth fighting for. If your point, if your argument, if your contention is that we were unfairly robbed of that tradition and history and the name, which was a football team's name as opposed to a racial slur, I understand that. I get it. I sympathize with you. I totally get it. It was worth fighting for. I fought for it. I never thought they were going to change the name. I never thought it should be changed, despite the education of how it was offensive to some. Not all, but to some. But I have never understood the angst, the anger, the hate, the disregard for Commanders. So then I started to think, why do they hate Commanders? Is it just because that's the name that was chosen to replace Redskins ultimately? One. Two, and many have conveyed this, it was the last vestige, if you will, the last stink bomb of the Dan Snyder regime. Okay, I do understand that. But I didn't understand it, and I still don't understand it from a just pure Commander's perspective. Again, Commanders. It has something to do with, of course, the military. The military is such a big part of the fabric here in the DMV. I personally, again, have no problem at all with Commanders. I understood what they were trying to do. They did not want a common name. They wanted a name that they could market and brand. And as Mark points out, the name was one that they could own outright. That was the key to it all. And I said that at the time. I remember doing shows with the late, great Pete Medhurst over and over. I remember being there at FedEx Field that morning, talking to Jason Wright, talking to Joe Theismann, talking to team officials. They chose Commanders. They wouldn't say it exactly. They chose Commanders because Commanders wasn't Warriors and used by other teams. Or it wasn't, certainly Wolves and Red Wolves, again, was not only used by other teams, but also much, much, much more heavily and intricately involved in trademark issues, right? Arkansas State and the Minnesota Timberwolves did not want to get, just like Yeti did not want to give in to the Utah Hockey Club. You see some of the problems, and that's why I brought up that story, right? So, again, I'm trying to get to a roundabout way of saying, hey, man, Commanders, is it really as bad as you guys make it out to be? Because it's not me. As you guys make it out to me, or is it still because it's the name that ultimately replaced Redskins, or is it the name that ultimately you think Dan Snyder wanted to change the name to? Because that's not true either. It's the name that he ultimately agreed to. It's not the name that he wanted. That was Warriors. That was Warriors. And maybe to some degree it was Wolves. I don't know that part. 301-230-0980. We'll take another quick timeout, get sort of back on track here, finish up the hour. We got much more to do. We will turn the corner as well. If you guys aren't interested in this, I thought it was an interesting way to approach it with what they're doing out in Utah, what they're doing with the potential bid for a WNBA team in Nashville. You guys can continue to bang the drum as loudly as you want. Maybe it'll happen. Maybe it won't happen. I hope it doesn't happen because I don't want anything to do with another name change or another brand name change ever again. It's a waste of time. It's not important to me. And that's just how I feel. And that's, you know, I have a forum that I'm allowed to convey those thoughts, whether you like or dislike those thoughts on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, approaching 3 o'clock right here on the Team 980. Are you ready to win big and live it up in Sin City? Well, it's the Slam Dunk in Vegas on the Team 980. Listen for your chance to win a flyaway trip to Las Vegas with three friends and $20,000 in spending money for the first two rounds of the college basketball tournament. Winning is easy. Just download the free Odyssey app. If you haven't already done so, log in and listen to the Team 980 for a chance to win the experience of a lifetime. Listen each day for an hour to earn your daily entry. This is a national contest. More details available at odyssey.com/slamdunk. So if you have any questions about how it all works, odyssey.com/slamdunk. Listen, somebody... who was it? I want to make sure I give credit. Tim Blank said, we were the fan base that came up with Washington Wizards. I don't know if I would have trusted us when I proposed the option of, hey, if it was... So I'm not exactly aware of how the whole process went. I know why Abe Poland changed the name from Bullets to Wizards. I know Dragons, Stallions, Express, and Sea Dogs were the names. Listen, there were no great options there. I mean, I probably would have said Dragons. I don't know. But I'm not a big name guy, okay? Brands don't mean much to me. I'll give you a further example. Hey, Mac, do you like coffee at all or no?
Big coffee guy. Cold brew all day.
All right. Do you have a favorite coffee place that, you know, maybe you stop at when you need a little pick-me-up? Like, do you have a preferred brand of coffee that's commercially available?
I would say Starbucks.
Okay.
Starbucks is my go-to.
All right, so you lean Starbucks.
Yes.
I lean Dunkin' Donuts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Starbucks has never changed their name. They've always been Starbucks, right? And yeah, they'll always be. Dunkin' Donuts has gone from Dunkin' Donuts to Dunkin', back to Dunkin' Donuts, to sometimes they're Dunkin', sometimes they're Dunkin' Donuts. I don't know what the hell they are.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But all in the same family, but they clearly went for at least a little while from Dunkin' Donuts because they did not want to be known just as a donut place. They wanted to be known for their line of drinks, which has kept them competitive financially with Starbucks, with other places, right? Because that's where the market is at. People are not eating as much donuts, but they are drinking and consuming all sorts of foo-foo drinks, coffee, hot coffee, iced coffee, mocha latte, what, you know, all that stuff, right? And they wanted to be in line with Starbucks. Did it bother me for one second when they announced that they were changing their name from Dunkin' Donuts to Dunkin', and when they apparently went back in some markets they didn't and they did, and I don't even know what it is, quite honestly. Did it bother me for one second? Hell to the no. Brands, okay, identities, logos mean nothing at all to me. They really don't. My favorite place that I stop at five times a week has changed its name and kind of had a messy kind of rebranding. I know what it is. I know who it is. Whether it was Dunkin' Donuts, Dunk Your Mama, whatever. It didn't matter. I know what it is. I know the product. I know I like my coffee there. Just like Starbucks could change their brand from Starbucks to, you know, I don't know, Star-A-Million, and it would make no difference, right? Like, logos and identities and brands just don't mean a whole lot to me. So maybe that's why, and I've said this before, when I fight with fans, when they say, how could you be so... you're not from here. You don't have the cultural identity. Maybe it's just me. I don't care about brands, and I don't care about identity. Again, I've told you guys this. I'm a guy that was forced to change my name on air to Chris Russell 22 years ago. It bothered me 24 years ago. It bothered me. I did not like the name that was chosen for me. It was not what I wanted. It hurt me. It affected me. It, like, bothered my confidence when I was a young man. I got past it. I got used to it. I got over it. I started making jokes about it. I embraced it. It is what it is. It's part of the path. It's part of the fabric. It's not something that I care about or get all worked up about. So maybe that's why I don't quite understand the angst over Commanders. Something to think about. We'll get into something else coming up on the other side of 3 o'clock right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Something about a magic carpet ride that made me go, okay. All right, let's do that. Let's examine that on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.